you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back to Faking Movies. I'm Lee, as always, joined here with my good friend Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys.
And my friend Seth. Hey, Seth.
Hello.
And this week we're going to be joined by our buddy Jeremy, who is going to be faking Life is Beautiful. Hey, Jer, how's it going?
Hey, how's things?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Do you want to tell us what info we fed you about Life is Beautiful?
What info did you feed me about Life is Beautiful?
Not none, much, if I recall.
I think none. Yeah.
We gave you some info.
I know Italians were responsible for this.
True. So that is a true fact.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think we talked about giving you the actors and then decided it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't know them, so yeah. Who cares?
Okay.
I think we did tell you who the star was, just for the sake of giving... Oh, we didn't. Perfect.
Did not tell me that.
Great.
Also, I thought until maybe last night that this movie was recent, like from the last year or two.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently not.
Like The Pursuit of Happiness that is spelled incorrectly, that sort of thing?
Haven't seen it. Don't know what you're talking about.
Don't tell him.
Does,
okay. All right,
does Seth not know? Your listeners definitely don't know, but does Seth not know how, well, my background in movies?
It's no, not. But this is crucial to what we're doing here today, sure. So do go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. My background on movies is, my ignorance of movies knows no bounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we came upon this originally. Somebody, probably Lee, brought up Rookie of the Year. Oh. And Jer goes, oh, yeah, I read that book. And we all went, huh?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
That is one of several movies that I have accidentally read the novelization of without realizing that there was an actual movie.
Wait. There's a novelization of Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, it's for kids.
Yes, there is. I've After read the it movie. Several times, and I've never seen that movie.
How did they do the, like... Gardner.
Colin
Gardner takes the field.
That part does not ring a bell. So yeah. I think they just ignored it.
What about the fact that his coach mispronounces his name all the time?
Oh, there was some weird pronunciation shit in that book.
And is Ray Charles still in it?
Is Ray Charles in the book?
Yeah.
Is Ray Charles in the movie as Ray Charles?
Yes, he helps him. Uh-huh. They film a Diet Pepsi commercial together.
Yeah, you got the right one, baby.
He might be. I don't know. I haven't read it since I was 8. It's been a while.
Well, as long as there's like Gary Busey ooze still coming out of it, I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, and some good Daniel Stern slapstick, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Daniel Stern was in that.
The Last Starfighter, was that a...
Yes, it was very much a movie first. It was very much a movie first.
It was, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, read that two, three times. Oh, never saw that.
God.
Hey, audience, welcome to our new podcast, The Novelization of Dumb Kids Movies. We're just going to lean into this one.
Oh, God.
All right, I believe we also told you that, at least we intended to tell you, that the year it came out, it won a few Oscars, including Best Actor and Best Foreign Language Film.
You used the words the year it came out, so that didn't actually give me much information, other than I know it's a good movie now. I still don't know what it's from.
Well, according to certain people.
Yes.
I'll give you this little tidbit. It is number 25 on the IMDb Top 250.
Yeah.
Wait, so, really? Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
When-ish did this come out? Was this late 90s?
Mid to late, yeah. 97, yeah. I believe.
97.
I cannot believe that I haven't heard of this movie, because I've definitely read that list before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it's got a very generic title. You could have seen it and just been like, oh, that's a whatever.
Yeah, fucking shit. Yeah. Speaking of generic titles, holy shit. I had no idea where to go with this.
Uh-huh. That was the hope.
I think it sounds like a good time to jump in then, doesn't it?
Yeah. I have a list of like things that I directions that I started going and then was like, no way.
All right.
Some of my favorites are like Milton Bradley biopic. That would have been great.
Drop everything and let's walk down that road.
Ooh. That's the end of that road. I just have Milton Bradley biopic.
Oh, God. Here. My life's greatest disappointment.
I'm certainly hammered.
So it'd be like a speed round where you just like give your starting ideas.
I mean, it's all just plays on the title.
Yeah,
really.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, man. He really likes his board game.
Have you listened to our other episodes where I always have to jam the title in regardless?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like one of the biggest information chunks you get, so yeah, it makes sense.
Also, since I thought this was made like mid-2000s, late-2000s, who the fuck knows, I was thinking like Life is Beautiful, directed by Italian Paul Thomas Anderson, starring Italian Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah,
it's 175 minutes long.
And Italian frogs fall from the sky.
Italian William H. Macy or Italian Dylan Baker is like a rapist. And whoa. It's an ironic title, like Happiness or something like that. I don't know. It's Magnolia, that
would
one.
Would you fuck me and fuck me so hard? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in Italian. We'll dub that.
Yeah, in post. Change that to Italian.
Sure. Just do it in an Italian accent, Lee. Let's see how that goes.
Oh, that is a thing we do.
What are you fucking me? You couldn't see it, but I was like doing the hand gesture a while.
I could fully picture it. Yeah.
Who directed Silence of the Lambs?
Jonathan Demme.
Mm. Oh.
Is this a new direction you're going? Because please do.
How are you guys with spoilers on non-this movie movies?
I think it depends on how well known the movie is to the group.
So yeah, another direction I was going was sci-fi horror.
Mm-hmm. I thought. Oh, okay, great. Yeah,
that would be a fun title,
like an alien kind of deal.
Yeah, and Zach reminded me last night that this basic movie exists. It's called Life, and it came out like last year.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
In space, aliens want to kill people, blah blah blah.
Was that last year? It was very recently.
It was like 6 months ago, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Maybe I won't. I mean, had I gone that direction, there would be spoilers for that movie.
Sure.
No. So what else was this? Oh right. This is my actual idea here.
Okay. I think let's get into
now, it. Now Lee, I think I made this joke when you mentioned the title the other day.
Okay.
But I'm going for a sequel to It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life 2, : Life is Beautiful.
Electric Boogaloo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do love subtitles.
I'm so excited.
I mean, it's not very fleshed out because...
Oh, well, no. Oh, that's my God. Now.
Yeah, so that's the new format. Go nuts.
This requires It's a Wonderful Life spoilers.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
That movie's how many decades old, I think?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Hey, dude, we watched Chinatown, and that's 4 decades old.
Yeah.
That fucking original movie is so insane and confusing. And apparently it's not based off of Dickens, it's based off of some other author. Because it's basically a Christmas story, right?
A Christmas Carol, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Christmas Carol, whatever.
Oh shit, yeah, you're right, it is.
Yeah. But let me take you through basic synopsis of it to the best of my ability. The first one. So Jimmy Stewart's trying to kill himself and he's on a bridge. Mm-hmm. And then weird old angel wants to stop him for some reason. And there's something about ranks of angels and things. I don't know. He's like...
He's not a full angel yet, yeah.
Yeah, he has a title and a class and shit. Like, he's in the military?
I mean, that's in the Bible, Jeremy. You just gotta...
Oh, shit.
Whoops.
So then...
Hashtag Bible as a literal document.
So the movie starts with this angel finding him, and then he takes him to the past, you know, like A Christmas Carol... And shows him all the times when he mattered, like he saved his brother's life and shit. And then he, I don't know, what else did he do? Oh, he saved his, like, this guy from poisoning his kid because he was all distraught in the pharmacy or something.
What?
Oh, yeah, man, yeah. Yeah, that's in there.
Yeah, there.
What?
There's a pharmacist with a sick kid, and he's, like, mixing medicine together for him, and he accidentally puts poison in it, and Jimmy Stewart, who has, I don't know what his fucking job in that movie is.
He runs a savings and loan, I thought, right? Or
the savings and loan comes up, because the big thing, like, it's weird, because it catches up to the beginning of the movie, and then just keeps going, and there's no mention of.
Oh, right, because, yeah, it plays out like, if you didn't exist, this is what would happen after all that.
Right, yeah, but basically what happens is some evil banker steals $8,000 off of Jimmy Stewart's dumb uncle.
Mr. Potter.
Sure.
Jesus.
And then, in the end, and then after that happens, Jimmy wishes he would never been born.
Yes.
And then this old-ass angel basically shames him into life by showing him, like, one of the big ones is if he never saved his brother, this kamikaze plane that he shot down in World War II would have hit this troop carrier and killed 100 troops or something like that.
Jesus.
So if Jimmy Stewart was never born, he would be responsible for the deaths of 100 American soldiers in World War II.
Also, like, his wife would have been a prostitute, I think, is one of the through lines.
Wow. Oh, really? There's a prostitution thing? I didn't actually...
His wife is on, like, dark as hell. His wife ends up on Skid Row. I don't know if she's a prostitute, but I mean, probably.
So wait, are we in It's a Wonderful Life world now?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's a wonderful life world. Okay, I'm just trying to catch you guys up.
This is the recap at the beginning of Life is Beautiful, the sequel.
The first one, it takes place in 1945-ish, and it was released in, like, 1946, I think. Okay. So they definitely use the word Japs all the time.
Crucial detail. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But basically the movie ends with all of the townspeople getting together and recovering and donating toward this $8,000. So I guess this banker got $8,000 for free?
Yes.
Oh,
just for his existential crisis.
Well, there is also like the extended circumstance of like everybody in town is invested in this savings and loan. So if it goes under, it'll just destroy the town.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So I'll preface something. If it's a Christmas movie, I probably have not seen it.
Oh, okay.
Fair. Yeah. So right. I definitely have not seen It's a Wonderful Life. And none of that made any sense. That sounded like the most insane movie I've ever heard in my life.
It is pretty insane.
The angel gets promoted at the end, too. So
I feel like I've seen it. I think the read we just did was much darker than was originally intended.
It's a dark fucking movie.
But I buy all of the arguments you made. I just had never thought of it like that.
So does the angel become like a seraphim or something?
He gets his wings, is what they say. Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we've got our Life is Beautiful background.
Aren't angels supposed to be like a mass of like 16 or something wings and eyes and
they're all horrifying to look at.
Yeah, right?
I think you're describing dragonflies, but yeah.
Wait a second, Zach. Are dragonflies actually angels in the real world?
We might have cracked it. Somebody call a scientist. Figure this shit out.
So, quickly.
Yeah, let's go through it.
Angel saves Jimmy Stewart's life by shaming him into living instead of, you know, getting mental health care.
Yeah.
Mental health care... I can't imagine how much worse it was than now.
Well, in the context of this movie, mental health care is via a cold, cold river because he kills himself.
He does jump off the bridge, too. To save the angel from drowning. Oh, my God, you guys. It's not
Wait.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever. Sure. I'm not going to try to understand it.
No. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
This is going way off the rails. Anyway.
Oh, is it?
So, when I was trying to pitch ideas around, I confused Italians for the French, and then thought of...
That's a pretty fundamental misstep in, I don't know, the world.
My brain, it doesn't work so good. So I started thinking of Michel Gondry, and I was like, surrealist something or other. But instead of any of that, I got inspiration from Jack Black in Be Kind, Rewind.
Okay.
And I thought, this is a thing. This is a thing that as a society we love doing, which is comedic actors in serious roles.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like
Adam Sandler, Punch Drunk Love.
Will Ferrell, Stranger than Fiction, yeah.
Jack Black in Bernie.
Jim Carrey in real life these days, yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis in The Day the Clown Cried. We love that one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I figured we'd include a comedic actor as the lead role in this sequel.
Okay.
And sure. I was trying to figure out who that would be, and I came up with, I think Maria Bamford would really do great in a lead role. Just because she is, I don't think she knows what her actual voice sounds like, so it'd be interesting to see what she came up with.
That's true, and she already has a lot of that, like her actual comedy has a lot of like dark reality in it, which I think kind of lends itself to this.
Yeah. I want her to completely ignore all comedy and go full seriousness.
Sure, on board. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing we like doing, think Peter Cushing and Paul Walker, what do they have in common?
They're dead.
That's one thing.
Oh, dead people in a movie that happens after they're dead.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yup. We have CGI Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yes.
Hologram Jimmy Stewart.
And there's an endless amount of people in this world who could provide the voice. This is perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the more disrespectful, the better.
Sure, of course.
That seems natural.
Oh, so, Maria!
Yeah, what I'm thinking is Maria Bamford is like his granddaughter or something. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Stewart's character is long dead, just like the actor. and while she's at the top of his building, CGI Jimmy Stewart comes down as an angel trying to get his wings and has to save her life. And he's a grandfather. So, man, I didn't really flesh this out too well.
Is it more or less just like then it plays out as kind of a rehash of the original movie?
Yeah, you know, yeah. It goes in a circle. It's like poetry.
Thanks, George Lucas.
That's what Lucas is telling.
Hang on.
What was that?
That was a good episode one joke.
Behind the scenes of episode one.
Yes,
joke.
Yeah.
Yikes. Man, I'm bad at movies. so he like takes her back in time and shows her some shit that happens in the past, but he doesn't actually know what it is in advance. He's not like omniscient, but he's just like flying by the seat of his pants.
So he gets super surprised.
Oh.
Yeah, so if he like takes her to the past to show her times, he'll figure it out as it goes, obviously.
He's got a list of places to go, and he just doesn't know.
Just like I'm figuring out this movie as it goes.
Yeah.
115-year-old Jimmy Stewart trying to understand, let's say, the mid-90s. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, actual Jimmy Stewart died in 97, I think.
Oh.
But
perfect timing.
He was a staunch Republican and got into like fist fights over that shit.
Yeah.
So I think we could safely portray him as kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah, so he'd come back and be like, can women still vote? Oh, not in my world.
Yeah, he finds out. So this does.
If you were never
play.
Born, there wouldn't be anyone to stop abortions.
This,
right. Yeah,
strangely
exactly
enough, that. This plays into what I was going to get at, which is, as he's showing her these events in the past, he sees things and starts to think that the world is awful himself.
Oh, God.
So he sees he sees that there was a black president. He sees there was a black president. He's like, oh, no, fuck this shit.
Man, our chorus of Jimmy Stewart's is my new favorite thing.
It's called a murder. A group of Jimmy Stewart's is a murder.
Oh, my God.
Right, sure.
Other things he finds out include that this $8,000 for the savings and loan did not fucking matter one bit, and the thing went under like 2 years after he died.
Oh God!
Oh, so his entire life was inconsequential, essentially.
Yes, that's exactly right. Or
dark
maybe
as fuck.
Maybe the 2008 financial crisis just completely fucking wrecked his bank, and it was not big enough to not fail, or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, but we need to put more money into the banks.
These reverse mortgages seem great. What could go wrong?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's see. Do do do. Now, what's happened? Oh man, I seriously think like he should get deep into Fox News's war on Christmas in this movie.
Oh yeah, okay.
And really take it to heart.
So Glenn Beck is like also in this movie, clearly.
Yeah, he sees about this war on Christmas, and he is fucking pissed. For sure.
Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and
others.
Yeah. So what's happening?
It's Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays.
What's happening to Maria Bamford as this goes on is she's slowly realizing that her grandfather, who the whole family loved or something, and maybe she doesn't remember him, she's finding out that he's just a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
And
seems self-evident at this point, yeah.
She is so disgusted by CGI Jimmy Stewart that she's like...
Oh, right. I've forgotten already.
Yeah, me too.
He's a hologram.
She's so fucking disgusted in her own family and her own legacy that she spends all this time trying to convince him that, like, black people could use the same bathrooms as white people, and there is no war on Christmas, and women should be allowed to speak whenever they feel like it.
Seems like a futile effort, but that's the right call. Yeah,
it seems like a futile effort. You just think she shouldn't do that, or
no? I mean, we've made hologram Jimmy Stewart quite the monster here.
You're just saying that you don't think she'll be able to pull it off.
Pull off the convincing him. I thought you meant pulling off leaving the world in the state that it is currently.
Oh sure, yeah.
Which is a much different thing. Yeah. Let's see. Mm-mm-mm. While doing this, while trying to convince him that, you know, he's a piece of shit, she slowly starts to realize that maybe this is her life's purpose and she shouldn't commit suicide.
Her life's purpose is convincing her dead ghost grandfather not to be such a piece of garbage.
Yes.
Yeah, to what end? Where does that get us?
I can see this being like, so maybe the world hasn't gotten as better as I thought it did. There's still a long way to go.
Or if there are people like this around.
Right.
Yeah, or maybe she also convinces herself that the world isn't as bad as it was, and it's actually getting better, because holy shit, can you believe how it could have been in the 40s?
Yeah, my grandfather was a hero, and listen to the shit he's saying.
Well, I guess she has to sort of like brainstorm like good things about the universe to tell Jimmy, and so that like keys her into, oh, it's not so bad. Yeah.
Now, I think this is just to get her off the building. This is not like, oh, she's cured.
Yeah.
It's because, man, I don't like that message of just convince yourself that you're not suicidal. Sure, you know, that the first movie had. Uh-huh. So she should get mental health treatment in the end. And this is essential. Right.
Yeah.
I do think that Jimmy Stewart should go to hell at the end.
Yeah, he needs comeuppance. He needs so much comeuppance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He is completely unconvinced. However, by going to hell and by being such a piece of shit, he saves his granddaughter's life. So maybe not that deep in hell.
Who is not inherently a terrible person. So, like, the right thing happened.
Right.
Essentially.
So maybe he goes to hell, but he gets to keep his wings so he doesn't have to, like, be in the lake of fire. He can just be near it.
Could we have a post-credit scene where Jimmy Stewart has a fiddle contest with the devil and loses?
And loses.
Oh, I like that a lot.
I don't see why not.
Or this post-credit scene... or this post-credit scene is getting set up. And it's like 5 minutes long of them with like fiddles and stuff, and he's getting pumped up, and they start, and then the devil plays, and then Jimmy Stewart goes to play, and, oh, wait, Jimmy Stewart doesn't know how to play a fucking fiddle.
And then, that's a good long con. Yeah,
sure. And then I'm thinking, like, Bugs Bunny, the fade in to his head, and he's just crying, and then movie cuts out.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I love this movie.
Me too. Yeah.
This was unreservedly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would love to hear suggestions if you have any, but man, there's a lot. There's a lot that could be fixed.
I think my only tweak would be also do hologram Clarence, the angel from the original movie.
I was trying to remember
his name. As the one who sends him to hell.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Because Clarence is like high ranking angel now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's above God.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's like, you're making me look like a piece of shit. Time for you to go to hell.
Yeah, we got to sneak some real blasphemy in there.
Yeah, why not?
At this point, yeah.
Well, we're desecrating the memories of a
World War II general. Yeah, let's.
Oh boy. All right, well, should we get to Real Life is Beautiful then?
Oh, please, yes. Oh,
okay, I'm going to let Lee lead this one off, but let me just say, Jerry, you got it very wrong, but you have the seeds amazingly somehow for true. Life is Beautiful in yours. It just was very much wrong.
Can I guess which of my genres is the closest, or is it this one?
You can guess.
So, yeah, go ahead, guess.
I was thinking 175-minute Paul Thomas Anderson movie would have been.
Well, you'd be wrong.
Wow.
So let me give you a few little bits, and then I'm going to ask you a question, because you brought up something earlier that made me very excited.
It was very hard not to yell loudly when you said those four words.
Yes.
Agreed.
Okay, so Life is Beautiful is starring, written, and directed by Roberto Benigni, a famous Italian comedic actor.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait.
And in this movie, it's about a man who he and his son end up in a concentration camp during the Holocaust, and he makes up a game and acts like a clown in order to hide the ugly truth from his son.
Oh, my God. God.
Now, what movie does that remind you of?
The David Clown Cry.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Holy shit. How about this? I was trying to look up comedic actors that would make sense in this, and I did Google Italian comedians and got Roberto Benigni. Did not reveal to myself that he was in a movie called Life is Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Nice. Hmm.
I just saw the top results on Google, and I'm like, nah, fuck that. That's dumb. Like,
do you want the official IMDb synopsis, one-sentence synopsis?
Oh, I very do, yes. Okay,
well. When an open-minded Jewish librarian and his son become victims of the Holocaust, he uses a perfect mixture of will, humor, and imagination to protect his son from the dangers around their camp.
Oh my God. So many questions. Uh-huh. One, what the fuck does open-minded mean in this context? Like, he thinks Nazis might be all right?
I assume they meant the opposite, but it's sort of automatic at that point.
It's not, yeah. I mean, it's not open-minded to go, fuck Nazis. Open-minded is, well, I don't think they're great, but let me listen to what they have to say. That's what open-minded means to me.
Yeah, that's not, that I'm saying, not what they were going
That's not a good idea. Don't make that. Yeah. Please. Yeah. How is this not the day the clown cried?
Okay. I'm going to tell you why it's not and how he almost pulls it off. I really have to admit it. I don't like this movie, but.
Yeah, me neither.
So it's an hour and 56 minutes long. And the first 56 minutes are a very charming romantic comedy about a lower class man wooing an upper class woman.
I don't think very charming is a good way to describe it.
But so anyway. It's Titanic.
Yeah.
It's the first half of Titanic.
Yeah.
In Italy.
Yeah.
And then there's a very abrupt tonal shift.
Yeah.
And they go Titanic. To the Holocaust.
Titanic? Yeah.
Holy shit.
My biggest problem with the concentration camp sequences, he does a lot of clowning in those physical clowning comedy stuff and the whole idea is, oh, he's hiding the truth from his like 4-year-old son. He's trying to make it palatable for him to be here and protect him. And that's fine. But all of these physical comedy sequences, since he was the director, he is just in love with his performance. And a moment that should last like a minute tops, the camera lingers for like 4 minutes, 5 minutes on him just doing slapstick in a concentration camp. It's baffling.
How did the guards not just straight up kill him?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
This seems like a good time to mention also Roberto Benigni, famously not Jewish.
Yes.
And that was a big deal at the time, apparently. Yeah.
So did this come out before or after Titanic?
Titanic came out the same year, 97.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. Who are these people writing this exact movie twice?
Well, I wonder, do people know what The Day the Clown Cried is?
I do.
Almost certainly not. I think we are the 4 people in the world.
So I just learned about it this morning, so yeah, okay, you're probably right.
It's Jerry Lewis tried to make a Holocaust movie where he plays a Jewish clown in a concentration camp, and what he does is he leads the children to the gas chambers, and the whole, I guess, struggle that he's having in the movie is, if I don't do this, someone else will, and they'll kill me. If I do this, at least they have some moments of joy before they die. And he didn't release it. He bought out all of the producers and bought every existing copy of the movie because he realized, don't make a comedy about the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Roberto Benigni, 20 years later, not only makes a comedy about the Holocaust, but wins Best Foreign Film and Best Actor.
Man.
So Jerry Lewis had to watch that movie, and there's 2 possible things that could have happened. He could have went into an insane depression spiral, or he could have gotten so incredibly angry at, like, why didn't I do it this way? You don't kill the kids!
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, there are other comedies about the Holocaust, for example, To Be or Not to Be by Brooks.
Well, that's a remake, but yeah, they're both about the Holocaust. Yeah.
Hogan's Heroes.
Well, I don't know if that's the Holocaust necessarily, but
it's just an Allied prisoner camp, but close enough.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that one with the soccer game where the
Victory?
Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, wasn't that
with Stallone and Michael Caine? That one.
Yeah. Wasn't like Pele in it or something? And
Fuck, Pele, Stallone. What? Holocaust soccer movie?
Yeah. Yep.
It's okay. It's an okay movie.
What's it called? I missed it because I was saying stupid stuff. Yeah. Victory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a soccer movie called Victory.
Yeah.
With Pele.
Uh-huh.
That's also about the Holocaust.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think Pele was in the Holocaust.
Probably not.
No, probs not, yeah.
Because if he was in World War II, he could have just kicked a soccer ball at Hitler real good.
Oh, that's all it takes, huh?
Beep, beep, beep,
wish we would have thought of this sooner.
Hitler decapitated by rogue soccer ball.
Yeah. So this movie is just the tonal shifts are so fucking baffling.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm just thinking about like how big my blind spots are, because I know about The Day the Clown Cried. I've heard of
a movie that has never been seen by anyone.
I was writing, literally no one. I was writing in comedic actors in serious roles. And yeah.
Jerry Lewis, the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty close.
I
think too, much like Get Over It, this seems like one. So I guess Roberto Benigni was fairly famous in Italy, right? So
oh, he was a national treasure. Like, literally, the American trailer for Life is Beautiful leads off with Italian treasure, Roberto Benigni.
Sure. So was this dead? Just one where nobody...
No, he's alive.
Nobody had the strength to say to him, like, hey, have you really thought this one through? Like, you sure you want to do this?
Isn't that how Jerry Lewis made the whole film before...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
but then he had his come to Jesus moment and went, oh no. Oh, we can't.
Oh, no.
Oh God.
These are two incredibly similar situations that played out in just the most completely different manner.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I think that works for the synopsis. Let's get to the rating and the whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
what
we said,
what the fuck is that movie? How did that happen?
Oh, I do want to point out one last thing about
Life is Beautiful. Do you think that Roberto Benigni didn't know that Jerry Lewis already made this exact movie 20 years ago?
This is a great question, and I really would love to be able to ask both of them if they had heard of each other's movies.
I bet Roberto did not. He seems like he's in his own world quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good God.
One more thing I want to mention about Life is Beautiful, as long as we're talking about the tonal shifts in that movie. Roberto Benigni's follow-up to his Holocaust comedy was a live-action Pinocchio in which he played Pinocchio.
Are you reading something that someone wrote down? Did someone put the words Holocaust and comedy right next to each other like that?
I mean, I'm just making a leap. Most people refer to it as an uplifting human, like, oh God, I forgot. Life is Beautiful ends with a freeze frame, like it's a full-on comedy movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was so rage-blinded by Holocaust comedy that I thought you were reading off of someone's fucking, I don't know, encyclopedia entry that I missed something about Pinocchio.
Oh, Roberto Benigni did a live-action Pinocchio where he played Pinocchio as his follow-up.
Gross.
Yeah. As an old man.
The nose is boners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lying cuts me off. Love that line.
Oh yeah. All right, so we should rate this. Yeah.
Yeah. So like we said, Life is Beautiful is like 25 on the IMDb top 250. It's way up there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like obviously some people saw the horror in this, and most people just went, "Oh, it is good." So yeah,
I think it's just tragically overrated. There are two different movies in there that each could have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they happen to be in the same movie.
Different director, perhaps. Yeah. Oh, God. Or different lead actor. Yeah, one of the two.
Would you say its rating is the greatest disaster ever in the history of humanity?
I very see what you're doing there.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I will say I saw this movie in the theater when I was like 11 or whatever when it came out. Yeah, yeah.
What?
I was telling Lee, my dad saw it in like the independent theater in our small town and then was like, oh, this is good. This is a good like grow up emotionally thing. And I remember
saw it twice in theaters?
In like 2 days, yeah. So he took me, I guess thinking this would like blossom me emotionally as a human, but I remember just being immediately overwhelmed by the crushing sadness of the universe. It was pretty bad. But yeah, then I thought back on it and I was like, oh, I guess that was pretty good. Yeah, and now, I don't know, thinking about it now, yeah, with all of the arguments we've made, it's significantly less good.
You blossomed into one of those giant African stink flowers.
Yeah, turns out.
A corpse flower, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
So, Lee, what are you going to rate? Do we want to rate this one or the other one first?
Let's do this one first.
Okay. So, Lee, what do you got?
Okay, so Life is Beautiful, the non Jeremy joint.
Mm-hmm.
I would give there are parts of it that are really, really well made.
Mm-hmm.
It's terribly directed the whole way through. just awful. Like, it's a travesty that he got nominated for Best Director.
Oh, I was going to ask what the Oscars it won were?
Best Foreign Language and Best Actor.
Okay.
And I think Best Score. But and the score is actually excellent.
Actually, I just wasn't listening very well, so.
Yeah. 3.5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
There are a few redeeming points, but I can't get over just how batshit insane it is.
Yeah,
there are a few redeeming points, but there are also few redeeming points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A middle ground.
There's a few performances by people who aren't Roberto Benigni that are just actually really terrific.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd go about a 5 because I think it made me the scarred emotional human being I am today. So that's not nothing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, it can't take all the credit, can it?
Yeah.
No, it was a real team effort for sure. Yeah. It takes a literal village. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go 5.
Okay. Well, first off, I just wanted to punch Roberto Benigni in the face this entire movie. Like, especially violent person. But I just really wanted to deck him. I don't understand why everybody in the movie didn't want to deck him.
or mm-hmm. like shoot him because they all had guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna be down in like the Lee zone at like a 3.5 to 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't terribly enjoy it, and just that turn. You're exactly halfway through the movie, and then suddenly, Holocaust.
Yeah.
Are you guys sure that this podcast isn't why the IMDb top 100 movies are the worst podcast?
Yeah, it's really been morphing into that.
Yeah, it's really turning into that for sure. Yeah.
Because a lot of these movies were pretty high on there.
True.
Yeah. That is kind of how we picked a lot of them. And then, we've been blasting them to pieces for the most part.
Uh-huh.
Especially Get Over It. I feel like that was number 3 or something.
Yeah, it's 3 all time. I think it goes like Shawshank, Godfather 2, Get Over It. Yeah,
I watched that with Zach and Lee. That was something. I can't wait to hear that one.
It was a masterpiece.
I do notably love that movie. So let's get into the Jeremy.
Wait, what was Zach's number? Or not Zach's. What was Seth's number?
3.5 to 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So let's give our Jeremy It's a Wonderful Life 2, : Life is Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
:
Electric Boogaloo.
- Jimmy Stewart Goes to Hell in this one.
Well, we don't want that last part. That just gives up spoiler.
Featuring Jimmy Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy Stewart's in quotes.
Jim Stew.
Now made with 100% real Jimmy Stewart. Quotes.
Well, I'm just going to jump in. 10. I fucking loved that. That was so good.
Yeah.
The type of movie you described where it's like comedic actor or whatever, and then we name does dramatic, and then we named a bunch of them. I was like, I like all those movies. So yeah, I'd go like 8 on that one. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was gonna go like a 7.5 to 8 also, especially because I get to see Jimmy Stewart in hell at the end.
Yeah, bonus points for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It really just pumps it up a little bit for me.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, I
didn't have a speech prepared, but you guys, I'd like to think.
As I recall, Roberto Benigni's speech was like very clowny and over the top.
Oh, he climbed over a bunch of chairs.
Yeah, that's right.
To accept the foreign language Oscar. And then when he got called up for the best actor, he said, I made a bigger mistake. I ran out of English.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah, that's real.
That was a quote wonderful. Just now?
Yeah.
Man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Pinocchio ass motherfucker.
Jesus Christ. Garbo. I can't.
Jesus.
You guys finish your fucking podcast. I'm going to go be mad at this chick.
Seems about right. All right, so I think Jer's the clear winner on that one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hang on. Can I ask, was Seth's better?
Yeah.
Canonically, yes.
It has to be. Just.
Yeah. It's pretty much in the...
I agree.
Yeah.
It's in our bylaws.
It's part of the universe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry. I mean, you did really...
No.
It was good.
No. I think it was fucking brilliant. I think trying to find heat was just great. I would totally watch that movie. I would not watch this piece of shit that I just came up with.
Well, when we make our production company someday, we'll get the chance to do both. Yeah, that'd be great.
Cool.
So next time.
So next time will be me, Zach, doing St. Elmo's Fire, which should be interesting.
We can be a man in motion.
Well, I mean, spoiler alerts. Christ.
Is that Kenny Loggins? Are you Kenny Loggins right now?
No, it's John Parr with the theme from St. Elmo's Fire.
Okay, well...
It doesn't give anything away.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us. So till next time. See you guys later.
Seth does it best.
Yep.